Welcome to the Tech Vittori podcast, where we will explore the hottest topics in connectivity and digitalization with some of the industry's leading minds.
So now we will be talking about cybersecurity ecosystem, public and private partnership in cybersecurity. There is no other way, actually. Or maybe there is. Our moderator is CEO of InfoVault, Simonas Černiauskas. So Simonas, good luck for you and your panelists, and round of applause. Oh, come on, we need all of you. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. And it's good to have you here in person and online. So today with me, we have a really nice setup of our panelists. So we have Egons Burs, Security Director at LMT. We have Dan Sjöblom, Director General at Swedish Post and Telecom Authority. We have Uldis Libietis, CISO at TED. Also, we have Isabella Rinaldi, Digital Infrastructure Consultant at ITU. And last but not least, we have Christians Teters, Head of Cybersecurity Governance and Compliance Division at CERT-LV. Before we will go into the topics, maybe you could give a short intro about yourself and your role and relation with cybersecurity.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. As already introduced, I'm Security Director at LMT. Latvian Mobile Telephone used to be a telco company. Now, for more than 7 years, we're a technology company doing all things around them. Most of them include security components. Security department at LMT consists of three divisions: information security, physical security, and cybersecurity. And these days, it's almost impossible to have a product or a service which doesn't touch upon at least one of those areas, most likely all of them.
Okay, my turn. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Dan Sjöblom, as mentioned. I'm head of the Swedish Post and Telecom Regulator, PTS. And in that capacity, of course, we are responsibility for the telco companies having sufficient security protocols and so on to meet our regulations. We do not operate the Swedish CERT, that's with another company, or another agency, I should say. There's a lot of development ongoing in the public sector in Sweden, strengthening our resilience, but also realizing and dealing with the need for quite a few agencies to be involved and share the responsibility for cybersecurity. Nobody can really do it alone in this day and time, but also creating the necessary transparency and clarity on how it's operating.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Christian Stetters. I represent the CERT-LV Cybersecurity Governance and Compliance Group. As such, I work with the policy issues of cybersecurity, the non-technical part of CERT-LV, because we mostly deal with cybersecurity incidents, but I'm closely involved in legislation process in Latvia, NIS2, IDAS2, and other policy stuff.
Hi, my name is Uldis Libietis. I'm from TED Company. I'm Chief Information Security Officer, taking care about our company internal security as well as our customer security. We also provide security services for our end users as well, and for companies as well. That's a short intro.
So, good afternoon. I'm Isabella Rinaldi. I'm working at the ITU Office for Europe as a digital infrastructure consultant. So first of all, thank again to the team of ITU Tech Vittori for hosting us. For the people who don't know us, the ITU is the specialized UN agency on ICTs, and we work in three different sectors. We have radio communications, standardizations, and development. The ITU Office for Europe belongs to the development sector and operates in the European region. And we cover a number of initiatives. And personally, I follow initiatives on infrastructures and innovation.
Amazing. So basically, yeah, today we'll talk about cybersecurity ecosystem, public and private partnership. But basically, we divided this topic into five major blocks. First of all, we will take a look into and we'll do some overview. Then we will delve into the responsibilities and the roles of public and private sectors. Policy and regulation, as some of you are directly involved in the area, definitely we will spend some time here. Information and threat intel sharing, that's another very important topic, and I will be super happy to hear your insights here. And last but not least, it's collaboration, cooperation between public, private sectors, academia, you know, how all of us can be safer and more resilient. So, Isabella, if you don't mind, let's start with you, with a bit maybe helicopter view. I know that ITU just recently released cybersecurity research. And maybe you could share a bit more about the key insights, about, you know, the trends, threats, and...
So we just released the fifth edition of the Global Cybersecurity Index, which covers 172 countries and provides overviews and insights of the cybersecurity commitment of these countries, considering five different pillars. So we have a legal, organizational, capacity development, technical, and cooperation pillars. So overall, the European region is one of the most advanced regions when it comes to commitment to cybersecurity. And of course, there are some room for improvement, for example, with the data breach reporting, but it scores quite well in general. And inside the region, clearly there are some differences. Not all the countries score the same. We know that the Northern Europe area is the area that scores the highest under all the five pillars. On the other hand, at the global level, what we see in terms of major trends is that countries tend to do better on the legal framework of cybersecurity, while there are more difficulties when it comes to capacity development. We saw that 171 countries, so almost all the countries, have at least one regulation when it comes to the protection of data and privacy. If we look at the cooperation pillar, we see that 166 countries are part of some international cybersecurity agreement. But here the challenge is to make sure that these agreements are actually operationalized and result in concrete actions. When we look at the capacity development, one of the focus areas is the cyber awareness. As we know, the easiest way to circulate malware is by sending emails that are clicked by people that are unaware of the cyber risks. So here we see that 130 countries implemented cyber awareness campaigns that are targeted to a specific demographics, so that these campaigns are able to make the audience feel involved and they actually can reflect their reality. When we move to the organizational pillar, we see that many countries, 127 countries, have a national cybersecurity strategy, which is a crucial element to ensure a coordinated response to cyber threats. And but actually, just a little bit more than a half of the countries have identified an agency that is responsible for the monitoring of the cybersecurity of critical infrastructures. And finally, looking at the technical pillars, we see that 138 countries managed to develop a CERT, which is which continue to be the key element in responding to cyber incidents. And many of them conduct also cyber drills, which are very useful opportunity for improvement. And so the report stresses the importance of these certs as a central point of coordination at the national level, but also internationally. They represent a contact point for major cooperations. So these are the main trends that come from our report. And of course, our analysis cover country by country under all the different pillars. So if you're interested in specific countries, you are more than welcome to visit our report on the website.
Amazing, thank you very much. As we are in Latvia right now, so I would approach Christian, and maybe you could share a bit more local story about emerging threats and key attack vectors.
Well, actually, the overall picture is quite similar what it was a year ago. We still see a lot of phishing campaigns, especially spear phishing, which unfortunately is getting more elaborate, since the attackers, they spend the time to learn not so easy to speak Latvian language and to elaborate the social engineering part of the spear phishing. As for bigger organizations, we see that attackers tend to target VPNs, another access points. They tend to scan the networks for zero-day vulnerabilities. That's because we also pay attention to communicating the 0 days to our constituency, since it is very important to patch all the issues before some attacker finds out. So I would say that yes, and also DDoSes are happening, but that is, well, mostly the same, I would say.
Okay, amazing. What about local integrators and critical infrastructure providers? Any comments from your side?
Yeah, well, what we see that, particularly with the war in Ukraine, when our president, prime minister, somebody says something, it's like almost immediately, or not later than next day, we see some new attacks targeted on critical infrastructure, including ours. Another thing which I could briefly touch upon is that we are in a situation when almost everything is connected and digitalized, and still a lot of also our clients, they need help in order how to do it more securely. We cooperate closely with CERTLV and other constituents, and when they notice something or we notice something in our network, we are here to help the customers, because, well, these days, if you look even on the private side, say you want to buy a refrigerator. It is very hard or almost impossible to buy one which is energy efficient, which doesn't have Wi-Fi and other unnecessary things inside it. Same with business. We connected everything. Everything's interconnected. Some are even forcefully digitalized. And then something happens. For example, a security camera can easily become either a weapon to somebody if it's not properly secured, or vice versa. Some cybersecurity vulnerabilities in the camera could compromise physical security of something else, say a building or a facility or whatever it is. So it's all connected, all complicated, and I think that, well, we will, in physical information cybersecurity, we're going to have work to do for, well, extended period of time.
Thank you. Kuldis?
Just to add to Christian's, this phishing campaigns are explosively growing this year as well. Last year, it was more than 21,000 people failed in bank accounts, so they lost their money, and this year will be more coming. Now it's already last year achieved, and more than was in totally last year. Yes. So it's growing around 50%. In year time. Also, three companies lost more than 1 million this year, so here in Latvia, so we have at least 3 millionaires.
Okay. No conference these days can come without AI questions, so if any of you want to take this, do you see, you know, the real impact already in terms of defense or offense technologies? If any of you want to a bit elaborate, do you see the risks here? And
the
Well, the risks are everywhere. You cannot really avoid them. The pragmatic approach is risk-based approach, so you analyze your risks, you know your technology, you know your supply chain, your customers, your stakeholders, and then you adapt the best technology available. These days, everybody talks about machine learning, AI, etc. Network security guys had artificial intelligence built in their NDR and XDR years ago. It's 5, 7, maybe even 10 years for some vendors, something built in. It was just not a hype. It was a tool that recognized attacks. These days, of course, it's all with AI hype and everything.
Of course, of course. Yeah, very lightly said. Dan, as you're a presenting regulator, maybe you know you could a bit clarify for the audience for all of us the roles and responsibilities of public and private sectors in cybersecurity. Because, well, what should be the government's role in setting security standards and how to avoid being it too prescriptive?
Well, thanks. First, I just like to say that I agree with much what has been said here. We see a lot of increased activity together with our collaborating agencies. It's both antagonistic, that is to say, from unfriendly nations, but and from criminal sources, the phishing campaigns. And it's hard to tell what is what, and I believe that those two different sources are often in collaboration of various kinds as well. So we have to be aware that it's ongoing and it's happening all the time, right? So phishing, ransomware, using vulnerabilities, using the weakest links of any chain, which is maybe, at the end of the day, it's down to people privately or people in companies or people in government. Clicking on stupid links and so it's never going to go beyond that. And they are getting, as somebody mentioned, increasingly efficient making us make mistakes. So the only way we can work with that is to be aware of that and to be clear about wanting to work against that and to do that. Both as government, in the various way we can do, establishing regulatory frameworks that are clear and expecting responsibility from all the actors in the chain, but also to facilitate information sharing and to responding to major events and sharing information about events. Trying to work on, as I know that sometimes it is felt by industry that it's a little bit of a one-way street wish from government that we want all your information, but we're not necessarily as keen on handing out information. That's an area where I think we must improve. We must have better private-public partnerships in combating this, and we need to create a culture where we talk about these events more than we do today. It's not shameful to have made a mistake. It's much better to learn from the mistake. It's really shameful to not learn from a mistake. So these kind of learnings and of course the width of sectors that we are now going to be regulating in Europe with NIS2 when it comes on stream is widening. So there will be a lot of actors in that sphere that are not as used to this as probably you guys on this panel who have been maybe doing this for a long time. We need to get everybody up to the same level or to even higher levels or else the bad guys maybe are going to win. And again, we also need to reach out to the public, to individuals, and that comes very not only for cybersecurity, but if we want to reap the benefits of digitalization, we need, as was discussed in the previous panel, to build trust. And how can you build trust if people are afraid of using systems because they are being spoofed and they're vulnerable to losing all their money to bad actors? So all of this is an enormous challenge that we need to meet together as a society of the people who want good things.
Yeah, absolutely. You raised a very nice and good topic about trust and also about awareness. So definitely, I think that is one of the core elements into elevating our cybersecurity and resilience. If I may, one more question for you. So, okay, you mentioned the NIS2, you know, there's a bunch of other EU regulations right now. How can we balance this need for regulation, standards, with not killing innovation, especially, you know, all of us most likely saw Draghi's report, some criticism on EU, and what would be your take on this?
Yeah, this is of course also very central. I think everyone is sort of sympathetic to the end wish of the Draghi and Letta reports that we want a Europe that is more open to innovation and less regulatory compared to the main competitive parts of the world. The way to get there is the difficulty, and with Europe being 27 countries with very different national systems, administrative systems, very different abilities of government to centrally demand things of the entire country and so on and so forth. We really have to do it in a different way. But I'm very hopeful that that the new commission that is coming in now will focus hopefully more on implementing the digital decade regulations that came in from the previous commission. Because we need some level of pause to do that. I think all of our countries are struggling, and we are finding ourselves in this new landscape where it used to be easy for government to allocate legislation to a government agency like mine. It's not anymore. Mostly, any new digital legislation is allocated to 3 or 5 agencies, and it creates this need to collaborate, and it creates difficulties for those who are being regulated to know exactly who to speak to about what, because everything is interlinked. So we need to get hold of this before we start doing too much more new things.
Yeah, absolutely. Egons and Uldis, question for both of you, and I think Christians also could complement a bit. What and how operators and critical infrastructure providers can do for national cybersecurity? I know that you are doing a lot, but you know.
Yeah, we have a very good, actually, with a setup here in Latvia. I like it very much because there is National Cybersecurity Excellence Center, which connects critical infrastructure providers. It connects certainly Ministry of Defense, and during the new legislation when it's coming out, like these days with new cybersecurity law and NIS2 directive coming in, etc., they actually open up this professional society. So we talk. We, as LMT, as a technical company, what we can do, and we do on a daily basis, so to say, we bring practical knowledge. What would work? What will cost huge overload? Or, for example, one of the interests is that if we need to report something, so we do it consistently, it's one report. It could be sent to different organizations or supervisory councils or whatever it is, but it should be one, not multiple. And this is something we feel we are being heard, and also that we could share our experience, what we've seen, say, in a practical development. For example, if somebody asks for some technology to be either regulated or maybe limited, etc., we could say that works, what we've seen in our networks, what we see with our customers. We could give practical advice from very practical and technical point of view.
Well, I would add some more things. Private companies and telcos and operators can provide cybersecurity faster and in a good price, so cheaper. If government will implement everything, it will be for a longer period. Project will last 3 years, 2 years, 5 years, who knows, and will cost millions or even billions. But private companies are for mass deployment and for cost reduction, basically. So private companies know how to count money.
Absolutely. Yes.
I'm not comment on that, but there is many domains that we could cooperate. For instance, one is both Uldis and Egons, you have great cybersecurity experts. We also appreciate your opinion on legislation, cabinet rules, etc., measures to be taken, and you are both very active with that. That is one thing. Also, what we are trying to promote is the sharing of information about cyber threats, incidents. That is very important, because in Latvia we are a small country, and also the cybersecurity community. It's very important that it's integrated and we get knowledge about what's going on in telcos, cybersecurity service providers, etc. So that is the main focus point of.
Yeah, actually, information sharing, threat intel sharing, and also trust mentioned by Dan earlier. I think these are on one side. Yeah, we all of us see the need of that, and in reality, in practice, it's not so easy to implement. I think we had the discussion a bit earlier with you that so maybe. You have some ideas or best practices or success stories here.
I just wanted to mention, I mean, I think building this trust, it takes a lot of time. You need to have respect for that. It's not something that you do like this. I mean, I can make the example of my agency, the telco regulator. We have since almost 20 years had a fora where we do this with the sector companies. So we know each other fairly well in that group, but now we are, as I mentioned, with NIS2, we're broadening and we're having a lot of new companies that will come in. We don't know them yet, and they don't know necessarily the people, the telco companies either. So moving to that next stage, cross-sector, is a big step, and then moving up to having this for the whole nation is an even bigger step. So it needs clear leadership from whoever is responsible from the government side to be open to discussing, and also it needs investment from private sector to, as you say, I think private sector is good at solving its own problems, but maybe if everyone solves their own problem, it's less efficient than if we solve the problem together, cross-sector.
I could add on that topic, yeah, that's a great topic. For example, we companies that does something with critical infrastructure, they have to have their supply chain checked already. That's coming to more companies with NIS2 directive. But what we do efficiently, effectively, is that everybody checks supply chain, ultimate beneficiary owners, maybe sanction list, technologies used, vulnerabilities, scan, that everything prepares a nice report and then shares to nobody. Mm. It's kept internally, and I will keep saying that it would be a great thing. Of course, it cannot be completely public, otherwise we're going to get, well, nationwide enemies around the globe, but at least, well, in trusted environments, we could share more. It could be blacklist. Well, but blacklist Europe is good. They say companies from certain continent or certain area is not welcome to develop new, for example, 5G networks. End of story. But with good practices, what works and how it works, we could do much more, because our analysts and security experts, they're spending a lot of time. They're very, well, demanded people with high skills, and we are sometimes within the industry and even more within the critical infrastructure industries as a whole doing redundant work, which we could avoid if we would cooperate more.
Absolutely. Any additional comments?
Also, I would add to Egon's talk. We have to fill a lot of questionnaires from our customers as well. And each customer comes with their own developed questionnaire forms. So I have seen question forms with 600 questions and others sending 200 questions. But basically, the questions are the same. I would like to have my declaration for all Latvian banks, for all EU banks. Here is my declaration, I'm DORA regulation rules following everything. So I would like to have more clear rules, harmonized forms, etc. So now we have to do, let's say, monkey job and do the same in different ways and duplicate and for every hour customers and so letters, questionnaires, etc. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of duplications.
Yeah, not sure about the situation in Sweden. Hopefully it's better. Maybe you can provide some suggestions of, you know.
Well, incident reporting, we try to streamline incident reporting, but that's also, as I was saying before, when we have a new landscape with more regulation, more agencies being involved, I think it's inevitable that you will have a little bit of that, at least as a starting point, that everyone wants to have their own reporting form, but it should, of course, you are right, it should be streamlined to the maximum that you have to fill out a form only once, and that's used by all those who need it. And then, of course, all of those forms put together become very sensitive, and we have to have good procedures and rules about who shares with whom and why. So we shouldn't be sharing information just for the sake of it, but we should be sharing, as you say, to learn from experiences much better than we have done today. I think there is a lot of scope to develop this in a considered and careful manner, guided by whoever is ultimately responsible for cybersecurity in the respective countries, and maybe at the EU level in total.
Okay, great. Well, so we spent some time discussing private-public collaboration, and we will definitely dedicate the last time for that. But before, academia. That's also a very important angle, and maybe you also have some ideas, any of you, or real examples how you are integrating academia into this process.
I could share my experience. I'm also a guest lecturer at university, Vidzemes Augstskola, Vidzemes Applied Science University, and they have masters, cybersecurity masters program, and it is one unofficial but a great way how to connect different industries, because most, if not most, at least 60-70% of students every year are bright technological guys and girls that somehow didn't manage to get master's degree, at least in cybersecurity. So when this education process is made fun, interesting, and in their individual works and group works, they share experiences, their practical experience from different industries, that's a great way to learn, and also outside strict regulatory environments. So this is my example.
I would like to add that as a CERTLV, we are part of the Latvian University Institute of Mathematics and Informatics, so actually we are almost educational institution, but it also helps a lot because we tend to create, there is research and regarding operational technology like security of OT, so we could attract also people that do want to do their scientific work as an institution, so it also helps a lot because we are part of the academia, so. Mm-hmm.
I'm also lecturing a cybersecurity course at Turība University. My students are not IT experts, they are physical security experts, but still they need to have some cybersecurity knowledge as well, because video surveillance, tourniquets, electronic keys, they are cyber security as well needed. So yeah, and also we have developed this program especially and went through program accreditation process as well, and now cybersecurity I think is needed in every study course. Here in Latvia we teach about fire security, about work security, civil security, but only few study courses has cybersecurity program as well.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And yeah, actually, it's also very related with the talent question. So I think that most of the world is having some challenges with growing the talent, with importing the talent. So that's maybe another area. Any of you has some silver bullets?
I would like to start. This year, I think we hosted was a cybersecurity challenge, like for young people who are interested in hacking. There was a tournament, so that is one way to go. Other is, I would say, is to promote with all the cybersecurity education with the institution is other field that we are closely involved to. It's not one of our main goals, but nonetheless it's a way to go, because the talent, it doesn't pop out even if you have a lot of money, but it takes time. So it's very important, as Uldis said and also Egon's, that you have a mentoring programs for the talents. You have to grow the specialties like ESOs, auditors, etc., you name it. So there is multi-institutional work in doing that, also with many challenges.
Okay, thank you. As I see that time is running, we have 10 minutes left. And after that, by the way, we will have an opportunity to ask some questions from the audience. So any of you will have any questions, so feel free to raise the hand. But let's then spend those 10 minutes. So
there is a question.
Okay, so yeah, please go ahead.
Let's go. Here's the mic. Please announce yourself and your question so we know where wind blows from.
Thank you very much for this very interesting discussion. I'm Stefan Lüders, Computer Security Officer of CERN, European Organization for Particle Physics. I got one easy and one more complicated question. So public-private partnership, where can I get MISP intelligence from your outfit? So how can I plug in my MISP instance to get intelligence from you? We're talking about collaboration, partnership, so I would like to have intelligence. Malicious domains, malicious file names, hashes, IP addresses, which you consider by your certs or by your security team as being malicious, so I can protect my organization.
That is answered for me.
Okay.
So actually, it's regarding MISP. I would say it's more like a private talk about what could we could we do for you. But regarding the malicious sites, actually we create, there is a service in Latvia called the DNS Firewall. It's actually, it's our, in collaboration with the NITLV, it's domain name register, so where we post every malicious site that we find. Actually, if you're using that service, well, it's mostly, you would see the malicious sites.
So the answer is more or less no, I cannot get access to your intelligence. I cannot get access to intelligence. This is what you're saying.
Could you please speak closer to the mic?
I'm trying, but my mouth is in the way. I'm just saying I cannot get access to your intelligence. This is what you're saying.
It's not that straightforward. It's actually the access to the intelligence. It's done via private talk. So that's what I wanted to say.
I'm connected to lots of MISP instances worldwide. So I just wonder why it's not working here, but it's working with the Swiss government. Why it's working with South American universities. Why it's not working here when we're talking about public-private partnership. But in the end, it's not a partnership because you're saying we need to establish trust. But okay, I'll take it. I got a second question, more on supply chain, because that has been mentioned also. So taking the supply chain, I should do a risk assessment of my supply chain. I did. We have 32,000 suppliers, and about 10 every month I find on the dark web listed as being ransomware. Ooh. None of those suppliers ever came back to me, told me, we've been ransomwared, there's some information of you which might get compromised. So what is working wrong here? Because in principle, they must report to me, but none did in the past 13 months.
Well, we at CERTLV, we do not actually make supply chain audits or checks. We don't certify products, but as an expert, I would share your problem, because there's a big hole on all these certification, product governance issues that there is not. Actually, there is a quite poor collaboration between product owners and the the auditors who issue the certificate.
Thank you.
Okay, so then I will ask to share your kind of closing notes and final comments, focusing mostly on this partnership, public-private partnership, and basically how we can speed up this collaboration, how we be more efficient, how we, at the end of the day, become more secure and resilient. Isabella, if you don't mind.
So first of all, maybe I can share some example from the work of ITU. So since we spoke about talent, ITU has developing mentoring programs specifically targeting women who want to access careers in cyber. And this has been done also in cooperation with the private sector. And these mentoring programs, the goal was to help these women to overcome the systemic obstacles and cultural obstacles that very often makes it harder for women to access careers in cyber. And we received very good feedback from the participants who felt they gained more expertise and skills that helped them improve in their career in the cyber field. Then another example I can share is the Cyber for Good project, which is, supports the Partner to Connect digital coalition initiatives. And this is an example of a multi-stakeholder approach. Under these Partners to Connect, a variety of entities can submit a pledge. So we have governments, including local governments. We have the private sector, including philanthropic entities, and many more, like academia or youth groups. They can all make a pledge. And cybersecurity is a pillar of these Partner to Connect. And through Cyber for Good, what ITU tried to do it was to leverage the expertise, the services, and the tools of ITUD sector members in order to support the least developed countries in advancing in their digital development. So, for example, in Gambia, Eswatini, and Botswana, some sector member put at disposal tools to monitor the cybersecurity of some critical areas like the electricity and water. And through this project, we received good feedback that it helped these countries in developing an approach to the cybersecurity and to the monitoring of these infrastructures. And well, to conclude, given the importance of national certs, another very important front of international cooperations is constituted by cyber drills. So since 2012, ITU conducted more than 42 cyber drills. And in 2023, there has been the participation of 140 countries. And these are excellent opportunities to strengthen the national cybersecurity preparedness through the exchange of best practices, of knowledge, and to support the countries in further advancing on the projects of national certs. So we take this opportunity also to share that we have an upcoming cyber drill, which will take place in Bulgaria from 26 to 29 of November. And this will target specifically countries from the Europe region and from the Mediterranean region, and will blend cybersecurity forums, technical trainings, and practical cybersecurity exercises, with the object to empower and enhance the preparedness of response of the countries to cybersecurity incidents.
Thank you.
Well, I don't have so great examples as just we heard. But what our company does, we have put cybersecurity goals in our ESG strategy as well. So we have developed internally a cybersecurity index as well. So we measure our employees' knowledge in cybersecurity skills. We measure how many students and how many school children were trained in some cybersecurity areas as well. As well as old people we trained and etc. And also we are hosting some cybersecurity events as well.
Christian?
Yes, as I mentioned, well, our collaboration with educational institutions. Another topic is how we could collaborate with the public institutions is that we have developed many of the cybersecurity services, which are free for Latvian constituents, and we provide it to governmental institutions, critical infrastructure, some medium businesses as well, which are constituents. So it's ranging from that DNS firewall to nowadays also a SOC and other services.
Okay. Then?
Yeah, maybe a couple of ideas. I mean, I think as government, we should be open to sharing as much as we can with individuals and private sector and any other sector that needs to understand as easily as possible, sort of at least basic cybersecurity, where you start, and make that available in not only necessarily from the government itself, but to use all kind of interested sectors like the trade unions and anyone who can reach out. We have a couple of initiatives like that when we use the whole sector approach to promote digitalization, and digitalization comes with trust, and trust comes with cybersecurity, so that all fits together. And the other thing I would mention, which is more sort of on creating a trust within the groups that really have to implement the more difficult, more sort of in-depth cybersecurity learnings, is to maybe work with both sectoral and cross-sectoral groups from industry to create a space where you become more secure in sharing experiences, and that is going to be an investment. And my experience is that the private sector is very keen; they will send very high-level people to those things, but it's hard work because the private sector is very vast. There are many companies there, and many companies need to do this, and you need to do it in relatively small groups. So it's a big investment.
Thank you.
Yeah, great panel. Not to repeat, guys, I will add another topic to this, fully agreeing with previous speakers. Bring security culture everywhere, be it your family, be it your organization, your university, your golf club, whatever it is, because that's a critical thinking, and security culture is something that could make us much more secure, safe and secure, rather than, well, what sometimes Europe is very strong on, well, if there is a breach of regulation, Europe's gonna punish, and punish hard. Well, sometimes punishing is, well, unavoidable and needs to be done, but rather train, facilitate, cooperate, bring security culture in a sense to have better, safer, secure for all society.
Thank you very much. And I think that we are running already out of time, so we will have these gentlemen and ladies together with us in the following part.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Yeah.
So you will be able to ask them, and have a more in-depth discussions. And thank you very much for your time.
And thank you, Simonas Černiauskas, for moderating this panel.